Welcome to another special episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This will be our last special episode before we go back to the numbering system. And my name is Anthony, and I'm here tonight with Ryan.
Hello, everybody.
So, since this is also our last podcast before the big day hits, you know, we'll be having Switches and probably be talking about the Switch nonstop from here on out.
I agree.
So, what have you been up to this week, man?
Actually, this week I've been playing Paper Mario in the Thousand Year Door. I never actually beat that game, but I've been working on it, but about 40 hours into it right now and almost at the very end.
40 hours? Wow. You playing it on the Cube, obviously?
I'm playing on the Wii, actually.
Oh, okay. You're using the BC on it? Oh,
absolutely.
Nice. I have just still been playing NHL and Feeding Frenzy with Feeding Frenzy 2 with my daughter. So she's finally getting into video games, and that seems to be one that is easy enough for her to play. So
that's an easy start.
Yeah, we actually beat through the co-op story mode, so we beat the whole thing. And but yeah.
Very nice.
So tonight's episode, we are going to go over the Switch Buyer's Guide. So that'll be everything coming out day one, what we feel is worth the value, and what may, you know, what we may wait to go over. We're also going to talk about the best and worst Nintendo home consoles, and then we're going to answer some listener mail. So you want to start off with the Buyer's Guide?
Personally, I mean, the Buyer's Guide, really, to me, it's Zelda. That's hands
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a gimme. How about accessories?
Accessories-wise, it's really kind of up in the air for me. Like, I want a Pro Controller, but I think I'm going to skip on the Pro Controller only because I really wanted it for the D-pad, and now that Street Fighter is getting pushed back and they're costing $40, which I think is absolutely ridiculous, I'm going to wait on that game for a while.
Yeah, so $40 hairs in, you know, that's just... Yeah, especially when the Ultimate Street Fighter, or not Street Fighter, but Marvel vs. Capcom 3 came out at $25. I'm like, what are they doing?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, they added the first-person Ryu mode, and you know, you could switch between old graphics and new graphics, but honestly, that to me is not worth $40.
Yeah, if it was $20, I would have been all over it.
But, oh, all over yeah, it.
$40 is a little much.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, you think about what else do you really need. Unless you're going to play four players, you really don't need an extra set of Joy-Cons either.
I mean, it's the nice thing is you can play two-player right out of the box
right.
without buying another controller, which is pretty awesome. It's really clever in the way that they're using the Joy-Cons, how you can use it, you know, in the mobile mode or whatever they call it, handheld mode, to play your games. And then you could also use it with the kickstand up, and two players can play it, or you can two players can play it on the TV mode. So it there's definitely some options, which is awesome. I think the Joy-Cons are a little pricey at $80. It would have been nice if they included snipper clips in it on this side of the pond.
Yeah, agreed. That's another thing I don't understand. I'm not understanding why. And this is a Nintendo tradition, it feels like. Europe always seems to get like the better end of the deals.
I honestly think it's because that's the worst selling region. So I think they have to pad up the merchandise. They kind of have to throw a little more stuff in there for the Europeans to go out and actually purchase it, because they know it's going to sell well in Japan. In America, it sells better than Europe. But, I mean, I really think that's, at the end of the day, that's why Europe gets the better end of the deal.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you know, the Joy-Cons, everybody complains about the $80 price tag. But in reality, you're getting two controllers. I mean, yeah, it may not be the best controllers. I mean, I haven't got my hands on fully to experience it just yet, personally. But you are getting two controllers for $40 a piece when you break it down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting... Here's what I'm getting. I'll throw out what I'm getting, and then we could talk about some of the other stuff. So I'm getting Zelda, of course. I'm getting Bomberman. After much debate of the price tag and everything, I decided I want an online game, so I'm throwing down on Bomberman. 1-2 Switch to me should have been a pack, and I'm gonna wait. I'll definitely pick it up at 20 when it goes down to 20, or if I can find it somewhere at 20. But $50 for that game is just it's just ridiculous.
I agree with you. I'm still gonna pick it up, even though I'm fighting against the price of it. But yeah, I do agree. I think it's a little overpriced.
Is there any other physical games coming out on day one?
There's a few, like The Binding of Isaac Plus.
Oh, and then Just Dance.
Just Dance.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on both of those. The Binding of Isaac Plus seems a little overpriced as well. That one's at $40. I mean, it's just weird, some of the pricing on the games that are coming out.
I understand when they do physical release. I mean, it costs more, you know, to print it, publish it and print it and do all that stuff. But
sure, but is it going to be the same price on the eShop, or is it going to be cheaper? I mean, That's the way I look at it.
Well, from what I hear, Puyo Puyo Tetris is actually cheaper on the eShop.
Okay, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, so that actually makes sense to me.
So the digital games day one, we're going to have I Am Setsuna. We're going to have
Shovel Knight. Rocket
League. Yeah, Shovel Knight. They're also going to have the Fast Racing RMX. Snipperclips.
Oh, yeah, Snipperclips.
And then they pushed back the Tomorrow Corp games, which were The World of Goo, Little Inferno.
So they get officially pushed back.
Yeah, in the Human Stream. Yeah, they didn't say when. They said hopefully by the end of March.
Are they going to make it a bundle deal where you can get all three for maybe a discounted price or something like that?
I really hope so. I don't know. I really don't know what they're going to do with it. But for the downloadable games on day one, I will be all over Snipperclips. I'm going to hold off on the other three, the I Am Setsuna, Shovel Knight, and Fast Racing MX, or RMX. I will purchase them eventually, but between Zelda, Snipperclips, and Bomberman, I mean, I'm going to be so busy playing games.
No, I agree. I'm definitely going to download Snipperclips. I quite possibly could download the Fast RMX as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great game. I actually turned it on the Wii U tonight to play some of the Fast Racing Neo, and the game's awesome. So I was just like, I was moving my Wii U off of the home entertainment center that I have in the living room, and it's now by my office computer, so it's officially moved out of the living room. Poor Wii U. Oh, man. At least it's not in a box. It's still hooked up, but poor Wii U. Yeah, Avery was also playing some of Super Mario 3D World, so that got a little bit of rotation tonight as well.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, for accessories, I'm going to go ahead and pick up a Pro Controller, and I'm getting all 5 Zelda amiibo, because I do that kind of amiibo thing.
Hey, that's cool. I'm going to pick up more the Joy-Cons, just because I have 4 people in the household, and, you know, we all want to play games like Bomberman and stuff like that. And I'm going to pick up the charging dock. Not the dock, but the handset. You know, the one with the like the grip, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only downside I see to that is you have to plug the grip in to the USB that's on the actual docking for the Switch. So I don't know how long that USB cord is.
It's probably going to be, you know, as long as the NES Classic cord, because that's how Nintendo rolls.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm a little worried about.
You could probably use any USB cable, though. So, I mean, if you do, I mean, unfortunately, you'd have to go buy your own, but I'm sure you could use any USB cable.
Yeah, and then I'm going to buy a starter kit. It's $30, but it comes with like some headphones. It comes with a case to carry it in, little pouches for your games, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I will probably get some sort of case, because this will be a machine that I take with me to work and play with on my break. I will take it around other places. And you know, it'll just be great to travel whenever you have little get-togethers, when it's Mario Kart Splatoon's out. It'll be really great local multiplayer games to show off with it.
Bring it to work and play with other people on your break.
Yeah, exactly. So there's definitely some options there. But yeah, I think that's pretty much what we're getting. If you guys want to hit us up in the comments, let us know what you guys are getting on launch day. If you're going to get one, if you're not, if you're going to wait because maybe there's no games out for you, or you weren't able to get a pre-order. But definitely let us know in the comment section. And we'll definitely, if you have any questions or you want us to throw a shout out on one of the future podcasts, let us know in the comment section.
Yeah.
But we're going to go into our next segment, which will be the best and worst home Nintendo home consoles. So I will, since this is what you kind of came up with, I'm going to let you steer this segment.
Well, which would you rather start? Would you rather start with the worst in the opinion or the best?
Let's start with the worst.
All right. I'll throw it out there. The Wii U. I honestly
that
think...
Is that what you're going with as the absolute worst, or are you...
No. The absolute worst home console. If we're going to go with absolute worst, it's the Virtual Boy. But I don't know what that fits in as, because it wasn't a home console, and it wasn't a portable. It was kind of like just there.
Well, you can never... It was a home console, Ryan. You cannot take that thing portable.
True, but it wasn't like a traditional where you hook up to TV where you can play it, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but is PlayStation VR a home console or a portable?
Well, PlayStation VR is an add-on. It's not even a console.
Yes, but it would still be home console. You don't play it off of a portable.
I would say that's an add-on, because you can't play that without having a PlayStation 4 or Pro.
Well, if it's the way of the future, that will be the that will be the console, right?
Well, we'll get into the VR discussion maybe later, but I'm just saying that's that's an add-on. You know, but no, the Wii U, in my opinion, is the worst Nintendo console, and there's a few reasons why. One, I mean, this is on them. It was marketed horribly. Probably the worst marketing I've ever seen for a console. How many people thought the tablet was just an add-on for the Wii? You know, and for the longest time. And that hurt them because it didn't get enough sales, which also hurt them in third-party games. But that's not a big deal, because Nintendo, ever since the GameCube, really, they didn't have all that third-party support. But what kills me about the Wii U mostly is it felt like Nintendo took a step back. And I mean that by, like, okay, here you have the Wii, where you have Super Mario Galaxy 1, Super Mario Galaxy 2, fantastic Mario games, and then you come out with 3D World, which, don't get me wrong, 3D World I think was a good game, but it really felt just like a better graphics 3D land.
Okay, so I gotta interrupt you just real quick. Are we talking about lineups, or are we talking about the actual console?
I'm talking about everything as a whole. Lineups, console. The Wii U, for example, I mean, I couldn't take it out of my living room without disconnecting, because it was, you know, as a system that you're supposed to be able to play, like the Switch, that's the evolution, basically. That's why I'm really looking forward to the Switch, because it's what the Wii U should have been, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I can completely agree with you on that sentiment, is that everything that they were going for with the Wii U has been corrected in how they're going about the Switch.
Right. And I feel everything up until the Wii U for Nintendo consoles had just awesome games and were just awesome systems. Everything had benefits. And the Wii U, to me, I mean, yeah, it was HD, but HD was already done already, you know what I mean? So that didn't really add enough to make me get excited. Personally,
yeah, I mean, they opened up the eShop. They it was a lot better done than on the Wii. So they had a lot of indie games on there. A lot of indie developers were on there. They really toned down the restriction on what it was, on what they classified a developer as, which really helped them get a lot more games onto their console. So, I mean, there's that legacy of it. I'll be honest, to me, the worst hardware-wise is the Wii. I mean, besides the Virtual Boy, is the Wii. Hardware-wise, the Wii was awful. The only saving grace of it was the fact that it has motion controls.
Yeah, the hardware-wise, it was bad. The motion controls kind of sucked. But I love the games that the Wii brought. And I love the fact that third parties that jumped on the Wii made mostly exclusives. Because they had to make exclusives for it.
Yeah, because the hardware was garbage.
Well, right, but some of those exclusives were great. You know,
yeah, I mean, and you had, like,
very
No More
unique
Heroes
experiences.
Yeah, Mad World.
Deadly Creatures.
I mean, Pororimpa.
Yeah, there was a lot of different exclusives.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good stuff, like, game library wise, but that's why I mentioned hardware when I said it. For game library, I mean, the worst is, I mean, Wii U probably. There is some great games, like Mario Kart 8 is one the best Mario Kart game, but as a whole, I mean, maybe the GameCube even. You could argue GameCube would have had the worst lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely argue that.
Because I could tell you what, there's better Mario games on the Wii U than there are on GameCube.
Well, I still like Sunshine.
Sunshine's a fun game. 3D World's better.
Oh, not to me. Not in my opinion. I'd take Sunshine over 3D World any day. I just like the 3D mechanics of Sunshine more than 3D World. 3D World was like, it felt like, okay, here's the thing. You got 3D World. They want you to play a multiplayer, four player, but they don't even put it online. You know, and,
but
that's
Nintendo's
killed
MO.
Me too.
They have all their Mario parties that are four player that you can't play online. I mean, how many games do you want me to go into that
Nintendo makes? This is why this needs a change. And with the Switch, and you're going to be paying for online, every one of their games that's multiplayer needs to be online. It's not even a question anymore.
You already know it's not.
What, every one of their games now?
Yeah, they won't be online.
That would be terrible. Why not? What's the excuse?
What's the excuse? It's Nintendo.
that's the excuse? Well, that's a pretty poor excuse, because if that's the
case... It's not an excuse. It's just don't get your hopes up, because when you think Nintendo's going to do one thing, they always do the opposite.
I understand that, but this is not something that is even debatable. This is, you have multiplayer games, you're charging for an online system, every one of your multiplayer games needs to be online.
So 1-2 Switch is multiplayer?
Yeah,
how's
but that's
that
different.
Working
that's completely
you?
Different.
That's different. So
that's completely
different.
That's a game where it's a social game, where you're looking at each other in the eyes and trying to milk cows and do whatever crazy...
Is that what they call it? It looks like the bait and switch there, buddy.
Da-doom-tsh.
Oh...
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about our worst, let's talk about our best, and I'll start that one off. And I would have to say that the best console still to this day, is the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I agree. Some would argue N64, but Super Nintendo takes it.
I don't even see how you could argue N64. Super Nintendo had third-party support. N64 had none.
I got into debates about it, man. It doesn't matter. The 64 was like their love child, you know?
Okay, I mean, if we want to go, like, console to console, I mean, obviously the 64 was more powerful.
If we're
going to
go that route, I mean, everything is more powerful than last.
But, I mean,
you know?
Okay, if you want to go look at controller, the Super Nintendo controller is better than the 64 controller.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we had an analog stick, but the analog stick was garbage on that thing.
And the shape and design was so out there.
Yeah, I mean, I get what they were trying to do, but at the same time, the funny part about it is I get the D-pad for 2D games, but they didn't even release any 2D games.
No. Well, there was a Mortal Kombat trilogy, and there was some 2D games.
There was a handful, though.
But
we designed this controller around the fact that, okay, you can play 3D or 2D, but we're never going to play 2D, so you're always going to be using the 3D. If they would have swapped it around and had the joystick in the proper position with a more like hardy like joystick, that would have been the controller.
Well, you know, it was something new. They tried it. You know what I mean? And you know.
Well, they're always the ones that are innovating. So I mean, you start with the NES, and that has the D-pad. The Super Nintendo has the shoulder buttons. The 64 adds rumble and an analog stick. What did the GameCube add? Wavebirds, wireless controllers.
Okay.
Hey, it made it a standard. It was the first party wireless controller
right.
on the market.
I mean, it's a stretch, but you're right. You're right.
Hey, got to do that yoga, man. But I would say, I mean, the NES will always have a special place in my heart, but a lot of the games feel so dated now.
Oh, yeah, the NES will always be great, but yeah, but then you had the Super Nintendo counterparts, which were like leaps and bounds.
Is there any, like, NES version of a game? I mean, Super Mario 3 and Mario World are probably the only ones that you could actually have a legit debate about.
Yeah.
But other than that, is there anything where you could say, oh, yeah, the NES version was better?
None that I can think of.
I mean, I'm sure people would debate with me with Castlevania's.
Super Castlevania 4 was amazing.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not amazing, but I'm sure someone will be like, you know, Dracula's Curse, or, you know what I'm saying? Like they'll be like, ah, that was my game. Or even like the Mega Man series, they'll be like, oh, Mega Man 2 over Mega Man X. But I thought Mega Man X was amazing.
Oh, I did
so,
too.
I don't know. But, I mean, you also have the argument with, Contra. You could say the original Contra compared to Alien Wars.
Well, see, I actually liked Alien Wars more.
I like Alien Wars more as well. So, I mean, I think, but someone would argue with you.
Okay, yeah. I get there. Well, someone would argue about anything.
That's true.
When, you know.
Yeah, his name's Ryan. but, I mean, where do you hold where would you hold the GameCube then? Because that's really the only one we haven't really discussed. Because, I mean, you don't like the Wii U. I didn't really care for the Wii. I mean, so we have that generation on lock. I mean, mm-hmm. The first two generations would obviously be the front. I mean, I guess the N64 and the GameCube are kind of just middle of the pack, right?
I would say more middle of the pack, yeah.
Yeah, so those are the average systems. I mean, the thing about the 64 is a lot of the games on there, if it wasn't for Rare, that system would have been dead.
Nintendo made the biggest mistake that when they didn't go CD. When they chose cartridge, and I understand why they chose cartridge. I get it. But everybody was moving into the CD format at that time. Nintendo knew that because they were going to have a CD player for the Super Nintendo. And they opted not to do that because of loading times or whatever. But had they gone CD, I don't think PlayStation would have ever done anything because Final Fantasy VII would have released on the Nintendo 64. And that would have been a whole other game.
Losing Square Enix really was not necessarily a nail in the coffin, but it was definitely a big...
It hurt them.
It was a big hurdle for them to get over. Yeah. It took a while for them to even get back on top.
Well, not only that, but then they lost other third parties too. I mean, realistically, I mean, all Capcom. These other games. Yeah, Capcom, Konami. I mean, Metal Gear Solid came out on the PlayStation. That would also have been an N64 title.
Resident Evil?
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2 came to the 64, but not the original.
No, and it came out years later, and it was amazing what they pulled off on Resident Evil 2.
It looked actually better. Actually a better game on the 64, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, it was. If you waited that long to buy it.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean that's our best and worst. So let's hope when we discuss this a few years from now, the Switch is at the on that best list with the Super Nintendo and the NES.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
So we also had a poll on our Twitter account for the Nintendo Fever Game Club, and we are going to continue what Matt and Holly were doing with that club. And we had a poll. The poll was between Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Snipperclips, and Bomberman for what we're going to play next month, or this month now that we're in March. And Zelda won, not quite by a landslide, but it had 50% of the vote. So that is the game that we will be playing for the month of March. So follow along with us. We will be discussing our adventures in Hyrule each week. We will. I'm sure this game is going to be a really difficult game for a book club or a game club, whatever you want to call it, because I'm sure every single one of our adventures is going to be completely different than the next person's. But that will make it very interesting to talk about, so we will be able to talk about all the similar things we saw, how much different stuff we saw while we were playing. I'm actually looking forward to it. I know a lot of people are going to be discussing Zelda. I was kind of hoping that Snipperclips or Bomberman would win.
I was looking forward to Bomberman.
Yeah, it would have gave us a little more structured game club, but it'll be interesting to see how everyone's Zelda adventure plays out.
Yeah, and this game is just looking awesome. More and more, I watch videos every day, and I just cannot wait. And some of the cool stuff you can do, I'm not going to spoil anything, but some of the stuff I've seen is just crazy to think about, actually doing it in-game.
Yeah, this looks like it might be... I mean, I don't want to, you know, count my chickens before they hatch, but this could be the greatest video game of all time.
You gonna call it the GOAT?
It might be, man. It might be the GOAT.
It well possibly could be. I mean, only time will tell.
So we had some listener questions that we got on our Nintendo Fever Facebook community. If you're not part of it, we highly recommend you join. We discuss games, news, anything game related. We put up there artwork, stuff, just anything Nintendo related, so that way we can have a discussion about it. It's fun. It's friendly. No one's unwelcome there. So join us, and let's start out with Mr. Michael Johnson and Dante both asked us, which Pokemon drink sounds the best? And they put up an article that you can see if you join the community where people were making drinks based off of Pokemon. So I'm not going to go through all the drinks, but the best one for me looked like the Eevee drink. And that one has a little bit of cake vodka, Kahlua. It has a chocolate eclair ice cream bar in there, some chocolate syrup, and a little bit of Bailey's. So that sounds like a little chocolate heaven there.
The one I actually looked at was the Pikachu. With vodka, orange juice, energy drink, Red Bull preferably. And then you had two little cherries and a bent straw. I was like, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and of course, you know, when we're talking about alcohol, you have to be 21 years or older, and please drink responsibly.
Anyway.
Okay, so the second question came from Chris King, and that is, what third-party developers or third-party games would we like to see come to the Switch? And this would be besides Skyrim and Bethesda, obviously.
I don't know. I mean, I would love to see Rockstar on there, but Nintendo never seems to fit into their game plan. Honestly, I just want to see good third-party exclusives, like the Wii. You know, something unique. I mean, the Switch is the most unique system that they've ever developed. I'd like to see them make some really unique games using the Joy-Cons or something really cool, you know? And it'll sell well. Nintendo fans will buy third-party games. As long as they're good.
Is there any existing franchise you'd like to see?
Any existing franchise? Top of my head, I can't really think of anything at the moment. Like I said, maybe. I mean, if Rockstar joined on, I would love to see Red Dead Redemption or something like that.
But. Yeah, that would be nice. I think Rockstar would be my number one as well. I mean, they haven't had a game on a Nintendo system since Bully on the Wii. So I wouldn't mind seeing them bring something over to there. I mean, I think other than that, I'm pretty sure every single third party is on board. So
yeah, I mean, anyone that I really care about, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the third-party games that I'd like to see, I'm going to go an indie one to start with, and that'd be Rocket League. I'd love to see Rocket League hit the Switch. I think that would be a great game, especially since you could do online or you could be able to do couch versus.
Rocket League on the go, sign me up.
Exactly. Another franchise I'd love to see Nintendo get their hands on would be Borderlands 3, since they just announced it today. I doubt it'll come, but I would love to have Borderlands on the go.
Yeah, Borderlands could be cool. I want to see what they're going to do with Borderlands 3. Because, I mean, if it's really just like the last Borderlands, the one on the moon, it was okay.
That wasn't really Borderlands. And it wasn't from the same developers.
It has the Borderlands title. So
yeah,
and it followed the same formula.
So did Batman Arkham Origins, but...
And that followed the same formula.
Yeah, but it was a different developer.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go my last third party game I'd love to see on there is a 2D Castlevania,
like an actual 2D Castlevania.
Yeah, like the ones that were on the DS or the 3DS.
Because Konami, or the GBA. I mean, besides Bomberman, Konami hasn't made any games because they got out of that. They wanted to go like pachinko machines or something. Last time I heard.
Well, we'll see. Maybe Bomberman will sell enough to bring them back.
Well, they said if Bomberman sells well, expect other franchises.
Well, so far, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the best-selling Bomberman game in the franchise.
Yeah, because people want to play something online, multiplayer. And
Exactly, because how else am I going to show off my systems online in multiplayer capabilities?
Exactly.
All right, so Michael Johnson also asked that... So he's seen a game called Voez, I believe it's pronounced, and it was a tablet or iOS Android game, and that was announced for the Switch, and it's only able to be played in portable mode. So his question really was, how do we feel about a game being released that you could only play in portable mode as a tablet game, and do we think that this will be a trend? How do we feel if it would be a trend? So I'll let you answer that.
Wouldn't it bother me one bit, honestly. I mean, every game, like you said, with the Switch, it's such a unique system that you can make different varieties of types of games. And if the game requires a touchscreen for whatever purposes they have it, I mean, you can't do that while the system's docked. So if you really hate those type of games, then don't buy it. But I mean, I think this adds more variety to the system personally.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that the more games, the merrier. If you don't like the fact that you have to play it only in portable or handheld mode, then don't buy it. I mean, that's as easy as it is. I mean, to me, like, if they put 500 games out there, who's going to buy all 500 anyways? So, I mean, the more games, the merrier. I'd love to see an Elite Beat Agents on here.
Exactly.
I love Elite Beat Agents. You wouldn't be able to play it in the TV mode. It would not feel the same. So.
No, of course not. And I think this is definitely more of the exception than the rule. Like, you're going to have, if this is even the case, very few touchscreen games that are only touchscreen.
I doubt we'll ever see the opposite, where it'll be a TV mode only.
Right.
If we do, that would be very odd, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't understand why they would do that. That would kind of defeat the whole purpose of the portability of the Switch.
I would rather see the portable mode only than the other way around. Absolutely. TV mode only. I think TV mode only would. I think you're right on the ball with that. It would completely defeat the purpose of the Switch.
Yeah.
So our final question was from Robert Roth, and he basically stated with some Metroid speculation, what do we see as the future of Metroid? Where do we see it going? Do we see it going to a VR future, or, you know, where is it going?
My opinion, here's what I think is going to happen. I think this E3, they're going to announce Metroid Prime, whatever they're going to call it, Metroid
from
Prime
Retro?
Something. From Retro. I think Retro is working on Metroid Prime. And I do believe they're going to announce that this year, but it's not going to come out this year. It's going to come out next year. And also, here's the thing. Next E3... they're going to say that the Metroid Prime will support VR, and that's when they're going to announce their headset cradle. So they're not
going to... So that's going to be next E3, and that's going to go into 2017? Or 2018, I'm sorry. So holiday 2018?
Holiday 2018, and it's when they'll have their VR ready, and Metroid will be their premier game. Because you'll be able to play it off VR or on VR. I think they'll have both options. And that's just my opinion, just predictions. But I think they're going to announce Metroid Prime in 2017. And then 2018 E3 is when they're going to say, and it works for VR.
To me, that is their absolute best title to start off with VR. I believe that Metroid was so atmospheric, the Metroid Prime series, that just to be on the planet by yourself, it'll feel even more tense in VR mode. I don't think it ever really comes across as tense or as suspenseful as it could. If you really think about the whole plot line of Metroid, you are on a planet alone with all these alien creatures, space pirates. I mean, it should really feel more suspenseful. And I think adding that to the VR experience, like putting that into a VR experience, will really it'll actually move the franchise into a positive direction.
Right. And I think also with the Switch and talking about VR, if they do what they've shown, like the headset cradle, I mean, you already own the VR system. You know what I mean? Buying the system itself already includes VR. Unlike the PS4, where you got to buy the PS4, which is like $250 now, or $300 when it's not on sale. And then the VR is $400 separately.
$500.
$400 base package, $500 if you want to have the motion controls and the camera, if you don't already own that stuff.
Well, you have to have the camera.
Right, but see, I have a camera, so I
okay. Would... But you're talking about from base, because you just mentioned buying the system. So if I'm buying the system today, I obviously don't have a camera or the motion controls.
Okay, so then you're looking at like $800 for a VR experience, where let's say the cradle costs $100, and I'm highballing it because it's Nintendo, and you know they're going to make profit on it. So say the headset cradle's $100. So you're looking at $800 compared to $400 for a VR experience. Now,
more likely, it's going to be $80 packed in with Metroid.
Ooh, you think so?
Why would it have to be anything that's not just a piece of plastic?
I mean, I agree with you on that, but I mean, I don't know. It's Nintendo we're talking about here.
Okay, whenever Nintendo releases an accessory, it always comes with a game. Always. Well, the Rumble Pack came with Star Fox 64. Right. The expansion of the RAM came with Donkey Kong 64. Their little gun thing for the Wii came with Link's crossbow training.
All right. I see where you're going. Yeah.
Wii Motion Plus came with Wii Sports Resort.
That is true. All right. So, yeah. So, Metroid with the VR, $80 you're thinking?
Even if it's Metroid with the headset for $100. Even at $100 with Metroid.
I'd be sold.
Yeah. I mean, that makes it such a value. What other Nintendo franchises you think would work with VR?
I mean, they would be all new experiences, but they could do a Zelda. They could do a Mario. It'd be really different, I think.
I could definitely see in Link's crossbow training too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything would be from the first person, of course, because that's really what VR is all about, is immersing you into the.
Yeah. You know which one I would think of? You probably wouldn't even thought of this. Duck Hunt.
Oh, Duck Hunt could be cool.
Dude, Duck Hunt would be awesome.
Yeah, it could. Punch Out.
Yeah, Punch-Out would be great because that was first person, technically.
Yeah, technically.
Then you had Endless Ocean. That would be a good one.
Wow, there are some franchises that Nintendo could really do VR with.
Hogan's Alley.
And then, you know what? And then they could have third-party support with VR, too. They'd have to dumb down the graphics a little bit because, I mean, from what I've been hearing recently, of course, it's across the net. We know it has the official specs yet, I guess. But they're saying the comparison is like what Wii was to 360 is what the Switch is compared to like the PS4. So it's that big of a generation gap is what they're saying. But I'll tell you what, the Switch looks a heck of a lot better than the Wii did compared to the 360. So
yeah, I mean, well, when you're looking at resolution alone, let's not care about like how many teraflops it's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, just look at resolution alone. I mean, we're going from 1080 to 1080. It's you know what I'm saying? Like when you're playing TV mode. So it's really like apples to apples. I mean, when you're thinking about it, I mean, if you have a pro, you could run it in 4K. Does that run native 4K on the games? Or is that upscaled?
I think it upscales 4K.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not even true 4K.
I mean, the only thing you're going to be missing out on is a few bells and whistles. Like when they show Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and compared to 2, I mean, you'll see the background and like the PS4 version has a few more like floating objects and things like that where the Switch version doesn't. But overall, I mean, they look very similar and I'm sure they play exactly the same.
Yeah, but you have the option to take it on the go. And and some people, like me, that's a huge, you know, that's a huge highlight to a game. The fact that I can take it into any room in my house, I can take it with me on the go. Any game that really isn't a long PlayStation, I know Zelda's kind of a weird game that when it comes to doing, you know, kind of releasing it on the go. How does the save points work on Zelda?
I'm not sure, because you seem to die an awfully lot from what I've been seeing.
I'm just wondering if you can just hit pause and save it. Because to me, like, really short play session games are really what's going to drive this thing. Like, EA really needs to get their sports games on here, because I have a feeling this is kind of going to be the go-to system for sport games.
I think so, just because you always have multiplayer no matter where you go.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, how many times, like, I don't know, you don't really have a phone where you're downloading games. But, like, I've downloaded some baseball games, some hockey games, some football games on my iPhone. And, you know, because I like to just, I want to get into it, just play a really quick game. That's why I love sports games. I could play a game and I feel like I'm accomplishing something in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So I've tried all the games on there and they're all garbage. So if I can actually have, like, a legitimate full version sports game, I'm all over it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I really wish Nintendo would have pushed back that Mario Superstar Sports or whatever it's called for 3DS and just released it on the Switch instead.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have been all over that 11-on-11 soccer.
I mean, it at least release a version later on for the Switch.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for E3 this year. I think Nintendo has a lot of stuff they still haven't shown us.
I think they do too. And I think they have a lot of stuff because there hasn't been anything coming out for the Wii U, really. So all that development time has to be going somewhere.
Exactly. One last thing before we sign off for the evening. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on the indie Nindy presentation that happened on Tuesday.
My thoughts? Some good, some bad. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say they're bad. They just don't appeal to me. I love some indie games, but top not three all games indie
you
games.
Saw.
Oh, top three indie games?
Blaster Master. Not of all time. Just
well,
just
no. I know. Saw that presentation.
Yeah.
Blaster Master looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they show? I'm trying to think of some other ones. I mean,
I would say Blaster Master Blaster Master Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I would say SteamWorld Dig 2 for me. I was a huge fan of the original SteamWorld Dig, and I would say the game from Zoinks. And I the name slips me. They made Stick It to the Man.
It's
the one where you could flip back and forth from with death.
That looked awesome. Oh, the other one, the Island Beach Shoot 'em Up. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember all the names of these games, but
are you talking about the Hawaii Shakedown Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii one, Shakedown Hawaii. I like that. I think that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like a Zombies Ate My Neighbor style.
Mm-hmm. So that looked pretty good. I mean, there's a few more too. I just, like I said, I just can't remember all the ones they showed.
Games that weren't shown in video form, but were on the presser that they released later on is I can't wait for Treasure Knots to come out. I seen they had Mutant Muds on there. Not sure what Mutant Muds that is. And Jules was being very the developer of the game. He was being very what's the word I'm looking for? Very vague when someone asked them online. So I'm thinking it's going to be like a complete definitive version of Mutant Muds. And if it is, I'm like all over that. So that'll have like Super Challenge and the original version.
I'm excited for Toe Jam and Earl. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with that.
Who's making it?
I don't even know. But I saw it listed and I was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, the only thing that has me worried about the Blaster Master is the fact that Innie Creates making it, who also made Mighty No. 9. But Famitsu Magazine did give it eights across the board, which is pretty good. So,
yeah, it's pretty good.
And it looks just like the NES version of it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll get it for $10, hands down. Yeah,
$10, no problem.
But, everybody who's listening, definitely let us know what your thoughts were on the Nindy presentation as well. Yep. Let us know what your favorite games you saw in this. And, if you have any questions that you want us to answer on the next podcast, please leave it in the post or go to our Nintendo Facebook group, and you can leave some comments there. We'll get right back to you. We're always jumping in on the conversation. So,
also, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nintendo Fever.
Absolutely. We do post the podcast on there as well. So if you're not subscribed to the podcast on iTunes or any Android devices, you can definitely go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there.
And with that, for all you gamers out there, don't forget, get your game on.
Switch!